We are continuing our study through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We're learning to live upside down. We're learning to live the kingdom of God lifestyle that is in Christ Jesus. And Jesus lays it out for us in this Sermon on the Mount. We've talked about how it's the constitution of God's kingdom. It tells us how to live, but it also tells us who we are, all the rights that we have as citizens of the kingdom of God through Christ Jesus. Last week we talked about our identity and how the Lord, when we're in Christ, He doesn't see us as old, pitiful, poor, powerless sinners any longer. Jesus calls beatitude people, those walking in Christ Jesus, living this stuff out, He calls us salt and light, world changers, bringers of the glory of God into the dark world that we live in. Today we're going to continue in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. And in here, Jesus is assuring us, the church, that He has fulfilled the law and He's taken everything to a whole nother level. Beginning in verse 17. Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Words of Jesus, Savior of the world. He's telling us that He didn't come to do away with the law and to bring a new law. He also said that He didn't come to bring some kind of new prophecy. Rather, Jesus tells us that He came to fulfill the law and to fulfill every single prophecy ever given about the coming Messiah. Jesus is the fulfillment. We need to understand that. Jesus is the fulfillment. Let me read verses 17 and 18 again. "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them," Jesus said. "I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." Christ came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. Many people, though, believe that Jesus destroyed the law. That the law is gone, that the law is no longer relevant. But that's not what Scripture, that's not what Jesus Himself teaches us here. Many also believe that we don't have to be bothered. Okay, the law might still be there, but we don't have to be bothered by the law. We don't have to teach it anymore. We don't have to even think about that anymore. That's like bygone days. That's old, that's gone. We don't even think about that anymore. But Jesus tells us just the opposite of that, doesn't He? Jesus says it's the people who practice and teach the law that are going to be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Not the people who ignore it, but the people who practice it and teach it are going to be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So lesson number one, the law isn't dead. The law isn't bad. However, it has been fulfilled. It has been fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled the law. Lesson number one. Jesus fulfilled the law. Some more info about the law. The law represents the character of God. The law represents the righteous requirements of God. The law hasn't changed just as God has not changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. However, the law hasn't changed. It's been fulfilled. But there's another key ingredient that we got to understand in this whole transaction that happened when Jesus came and he fulfilled the law. Scripture tells us that the covenant has changed. The law has been fulfilled by Christ. And there's a new covenant now in Christ Jesus. It says in Hebrews 9:15, and I encourage you to spend a little bit of time if you want to get into understanding this new covenant that we have in Christ Jesus. Read the book of Hebrews. Speaks a lot about the new covenant. Specifically, chapter 7, verses 11 through 22. You go into chapter 8, continue reading in chapter 8. You're going to learn a lot about the new covenant that we have in Christ Jesus. And this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. It says, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. We have a new covenant in Christ Jesus, the one who's fulfilled the law, brought a brand new covenant. We talk about this when we share communion with one another and we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And the Apostle Paul reminds us of the words of Jesus that say, this cup, remember when we take the cup? Some of you have already done this morning back at the communion table. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This cup is the new covenant that's been established through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus came. He fulfilled the law. And he brought a brand new covenant. So lesson number two, Jesus provided a new covenant. Jesus provided a new covenant. Why do we have a new covenant? This is important stuff. I mean, this is critical, foundational stuff to our faith and our understanding of who we are now in Christ Jesus. Understanding the law, understanding the covenants, and understanding what Jesus has done in all of that for us. Because it's changed everything. Why do we have a new covenant? Because the old sacrificial system represented in the old covenant only provided man with temporary justification. It wasn't complete. Didn't go all the way. In other words, the old covenant, it provided for the forgiveness of sins, and then it brought a person back into right standing with God at that moment that they brought their sacrifice, but that's where it stopped. It didn't go any further than that. It's because the sacrifices that were made were limited. They were just animals. They were the purest animals that they could find, that a person could find, but still, they were just animals. It was just the blood of animals that was spilled over the altar. The old sacrificial system in the old covenant did not have a means of bringing heart transformation. See, if a man sinned, here's what would happen back in the old days, back in the old covenant. If a man sinned, he knew it was wrong, he'd go and he'd go, okay, I got to get my best cow or my best lamb, my prized possession, and I got to go take it to the priest. So, whatever, he'd take his animal, his sacrifice to the priest. Didn't plan on doing that, but... He'd take it to the priest. The priest would put it on the altar, sacrifice the animal, the blood of the animal would be shed. And based on the old covenant, that man's sins were forgiven. The sins that he had committed, that he was bringing the sacrifice for atonement for, those sins were forgiven. But he wasn't changed at the heart level. He was still the same man. with the same struggles, being led by his same flesh. He was forgiven at that moment, but he was not a new creation. He had no greater ability to live for God after the sacrifice than before he made the sacrifice. That's why God, in his mercy, in his grace, and in his love for us, he gave us a new covenant in Christ Jesus. A new covenant to take it to another level. You see, with Christ, it's different because when we accept him as our sacrifice, because when he hung on that cross, and his life was given for us, because no one took his life, he gave it for us. And when his blood was shed for us, he became the sacrifice of all time. The ultimate sacrifice. And when we accept him as our sacrifice, as our Lord and Savior, and we put all of our hope, all of our life, all of our present, all of our future, everything that we are in him, we receive justification at that moment. Atonement for our sins. But then it goes beyond that. Because we're actually made into new creations at that time. Where the old passes away and the new comes now in Christ Jesus because of the new covenant. Because he is our sacrifice. Because his blood was shed for us. Jesus takes it to a whole nother level. A whole nother level. He fulfills the law. What mankind was unable to do. He fulfills the law. He establishes a new covenant. And he gives us newness of life. To where now we have all we need for life and godliness, as it says in 2 Peter. All we need for life and godliness because of the new covenant, because of the work of Christ on the cross, because he is our sacrifice. And he takes it to the whole nother level. Here's what's amazing about living as new creations in this new covenant. This is important stuff for us to understand. Because I believe this. I believe too often people receive Christ, they receive forgiveness, and then they walk away from that amazing encounter with God, and they go right back to believing they're the same old person that they always were. And they expect the same old results. They expect the same old thinking. They expect the same old depression and less than and no joy and just plod through life and just try to make it. I said a prayer. I accepted Christ. Someday it's all going to be good. But nothing is really changed right now. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's not the gospel. That's not what Jesus came to accomplish. He came and he completed it. He fulfilled it. And he brought a new covenant so that we could be new creations in him right now. Where the old truly does pass away. It's gone. It's dead. It's history. And the newness of life in him comes right now. Our eternity is now. Our future is now. Our time living in the fullness of God is now. And I'm tired of the devil robbing us of that. And it starts with us renewing our minds and thinking rightly about life in Christ Jesus. We are people living under the new covenant in Christ right now. All things have been made new, including us. Jesus is our sacrifice. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. Not only are our sins forgiven, but we are filled with the power of God. We're filled with the power of God. He's given that to us. It's poured over us and in us. The same power that raised him from the dead is in you if you are in Christ Jesus. That's the reality of your life right now because you're living in the new covenant in Christ. Jesus has fulfilled the law. He has broken the curse of sin and death in our lives, and He's made us alive so that we can live victorious. That's our reality right now. It doesn't mean that somehow we have this bubble around us and we live in this bubble and we never encounter difficulty. It doesn't mean that we're never going to have attack from the enemy in our lives. No, it doesn't mean that. We still live in this world, but we're not of it. We're in it, but not of it. And we're not of it because we're of the new covenant. We're of Christ Jesus now. And so as the world comes at us, it's not going to rob our joy. It's not going to steal our peace when the storms come. As Matt mentioned, they're going to happen. They've probably happened in your past. You're going to encounter more storms because this world is full of storms. But we're new creations, living under the new covenant, where all things have been made new. All things. Again, the work of Christ on the cross takes it to a whole nother level. Completely breaks the power of sin in our lives. We'll talk about this. You know, the name of Jesus is above every other name. But then we'll walk away from that encounter with God and that statement of faith. And sometimes we'll be like, yeah, but, you know, I'm always going to have this issue. Or, you know, this bent to want to do this or do that. And something I'm just going to have to put up with. You know, that temptation is just going to always be stronger. Where does that come from? That's not reality in Christ Jesus. The work of Christ on the cross takes it to a whole nother level. Completely breaks the power of sin in our lives. It doesn't just cover up the sin in our lives because the work of Christ is complete. And I want you to understand that. The work of Christ is complete. So now we can live complete lives in Him. Sometimes we can feel like, man, there's just something missing in my life. Something isn't complete. I mean, something's not connecting here in my life. And we're like, man, I just want everything to be connected and working right. Jesus has completed it. And when we run to Him at all times for everything, we will experience that completeness in our lives too. He has completed it so that we can live complete lives in Him. And there may be somebody this morning that needed to hear that. Jesus has completed it. There's not a question about that. He has completed it. He's fulfilled it. And you can live now in Him a complete and fulfilled life. In Christ Jesus. Sometimes we can cheapen the work of Christ on the cross, though. And I want to talk about that just a little bit. I don't see this kind of mentality much around this church family. But it's out there. And it's something I want to make sure that we address. Because I don't want to cheapen what Jesus did on the cross. Because He completed it and He gave His all to do that. Sometimes if we look at His work on the cross just as some kind of mask that we wear, that kind of covers up all the yuck that's really in us, and that's really what He's done, is He's just given us some kind of mask, some kind of cover up, so that now when God looks at us, He just sees the face of Jesus instead of, you know, all of our yuck. That's not the gospel message, by the way. Yet we hear that sometimes. That's not what Jesus came to do, to just give us a mask. So that we can just put this mask of Jesus over our face so that somehow we think we're tricking our Heavenly Father in that He just sees Jesus. And meanwhile, we're just back here wallowing in the muck, living in the muck, accepting the yuck of life. Continuing to just give in to sin, thinking, well, it's just going to be who we are, but as long as I keep this mask of Jesus in front of me, that's what He did for me. I can just throw this mask on, and all God sees now is the face of Jesus, and so that's my ticket to heaven. And that's really what Jesus did, was just kind of give me that ticket to heaven and this mask to kind of, you know, not allow anybody else to see, especially God, all the yuck. That's not the work of Christ on the cross. That's not the new covenant. in Him. That cheapens what Christ did on the cross, because Christ didn't just provide a cover-up for us. He went all the way on the cross so that we could be completely transformed from the inside out. Completely made into new creations. God didn't play games. He didn't just throw us a bone. He went all the way. The work of Christ is complete. It's effectual. His work changes us from the inside out. We become new people. We become free. We become alive. We become filled with His powerful grace that allows us to live for God in a way that we couldn't before. We can live for God now. We can fulfill our purpose, which is to glorify Him and to enjoy Him forever because of what Christ did on the cross, because of the new covenant that we have in Him. At one time I used to be dead, but now I'm alive. One time, man, that stuff used to take me down, but not anymore, because I'm walking in the new covenant of Christ Jesus, where everything's been made new. Me, I've been made new. So the work of Christ doesn't just provide us a mask so that we can look like Him on the outside. That's just not it. He didn't come just to paint us up. It's not it. Sometimes I do that. I'll have something that, like my pool fence at home. Here's what I do sometimes. My pool fence at home is rusted out in areas. So you know what I'll do? I'll just go get some more Rust-Oleum paint and just paint over it. And everybody comes over and they look over it. Oh, that's nice. That's great. Meanwhile, it's just decayed. It's broken underneath there. I mean, it's trashed underneath there. But man, I painted it up to make it look good. That's not what God did to you. He didn't just paint you up to make you look good on the outside so everyone can go, oh, they're a Christian. Isn't that nice? No, I mean, He did what I need to do to that fence. He took out the brokenness of the fence, the decay, the rust, the yuck. He removed all of that and He replaced it with newness, strength, everything made new and everything made right. Completely new. That's what He's done for us. He didn't just paint us up. We are not whitewashed tombs like the Pharisees of old were, who look good on the outside, but we're dead on the inside. We're alive on the inside. And as a result of being alive on the inside, man, do we ever look good on the outside. And I'm saying you look good. You're the light. You look good. So lesson number 3, Jesus completely changes us. He completely changes us. The work of Christ on the cross is complete. And it completely changes us. And it makes us new. The bondage of sin is broken off of you. If you're in Christ Jesus, the bondage, the power of sin is gone in your life. Now, we need to embrace that, walk that out, and experience it for reality. The effect of sin's broken off of us. The desire falls off. This whole process is called sanctification. That's that work of Christ in our lives as He's making us to, we start walking out that newness of life. We start seeing the old fall away, the new come. It's that process, man, where we become those new alive creations in Him, where the light keeps getting turned up brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. It's a process, and it's wonderful. And as we cooperate with Him with that process, we will see it happening, and it will be evident to everyone around us that we're people who are walking in the new covenant in Christ Jesus. He totally transforms us. You know, I experienced this in my own life. Some of you have heard how I've called myself an ornamental orange Christian. That's what I used to be. I used to be, at one time, as the Apostle Paul would say, I used to be an ornamental orange Christian. In other words, I looked awesome on the outside. I mean, I was bright orange and shiny, and man, it looked like that was the prize orange on the tree that you wanted to eat. The problem was, is when you peeled away the outer peel, first of all, the outer peel was really thick, and the inner fruit was really small, and it was dry, and it was bitter, and that's who I was. I looked good on the outside. I looked like I'd been all washed up and changed, but my inside hadn't changed. It was still bitter, still bad. And I woke up to that reality one day as I was reading God's Word, and I saw that, you know what? The new covenant in Christ Jesus changes everything. And I'm not seeing that change in my inner man. I'm not seeing that change as I continue just to be ruled by sin, unable to say no to temptation. Yet God's Word shows me, as a new creation in Christ Jesus, in the new covenant, in Christ who's fulfilled the law, who's broken the power of sin and death in my life, man, I should be, my fruit should be like super sweet, man. So I went to the Lord, and I fell on my face, as I told you, on that living room floor. That was part of the process. And I completely surrendered to Him, and He began to open my eyes to life in this new covenant. He began to show me who I am now in Christ Jesus. And I had to begin to accept that new identity and start to receive and walk in that new reality and actually speak it forth in my life. And so I went to places like 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. The Lord gave me that passage directly related to the sin in my life that I was so sick and tired of and couldn't get away from in the flesh. But now, as somebody who understood who I was in the new covenant in Christ Jesus, it was time to walk in victory. And I would say, and I would speak it out, no temptation has seized me, because I'm a child of God now. No temptation has seized me except what's common to every man. And God is faithful, though. He won't let me be tempted beyond what I can bear. And here's the other reality, Eric, that God has provided a way out. Let's take it right now. And I would start to speak this reality of life in the new covenant, life with Christ over my life. And I started to see victory happen. I started to see the reality begin to occur in my life. The Lord took me to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. One of my favorite passages of Scripture of all time. I just love it because it speaks of the powerful grace of God. The fullness of what Christ did when He fulfilled it. When He completed it, when He brought the new covenant in Him, the fullness of His grace, that grace that brings salvation, that justifies us, that provided forgiveness for your sins, that grace also teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, to live a godly, upright life. And I'm just off notes right now, paraphrasing, so just bear with me as you're reading the actual passage. That it teaches us to say no to temptation, to live a godly, upright life in this present age as we're waiting for Jesus to return. That's what that says. And I said, okay, God, You've given me all I need. You've completed it, and so I'm going to walk in that completeness right now. I just want to share a little bit of that story with you to let you know a few things. First of all, we got to understand what God's Word says. That He has fulfilled the law. Not so that we could just ignore it, but so that we could now walk in the new covenant in Him and actually live differently and see the sin and the yuck of the world fall off us for real as we walk in the things that God's called us to walk in. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And He has those things for us so that they can be a reality for us right now. We don't have to come up with some kind of doctrinal, theological explanation of why, okay, the Bible says this is what it looks like to live in the kingdom, but this is how I live, and so there's always going to be this difference. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says this is what I have for you. You couldn't accomplish it before because you weren't walking in the new covenant in Christ Jesus. But you're walking in the new covenant in Christ Jesus now. So grab hold of it and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to walk you in that. lead you into that. Be your counselor. Relying on God. And you'll start seeing the old pass away and the new come. Because Christ has fulfilled it. And we have a new covenant in Him. God's grace changes our hearts and empowers us to live for Him. To live for righteousness, to say no to evil. Sin is dead in our lives if we're in Christ Jesus. And we can walk in newness of life for real, right here, right now. Am I talking about sinless perfection? You know, you didn't hear me say that. I didn't say that. I talked about the process of coming into agreement with God's word about who we are. Talking about the process of embracing the reality of our new identity in Him and saying yes to Him and living with Him and for Him every moment of every day and watching things change. Because things that Jesus touches, the things that He touched, they change. Has He touched you? Get ready to change. Get ready to change. He's completed it. He's completed it. And what He's done is no joke. It's the real deal. He's taken it all to a whole nother level. Because God loves us that much to not let us remain the same. He's got an amazing life for us, an upside down from this world kind of life that's glorious. It's beautiful. We're His new creations. His new creations. So the law hasn't gone away. God's requirements remain the same. God still requires holiness and righteous living. However, in Christ, we now have all we need in Christ. Not in our own strength, but all in Christ. We have all we need for life and godliness. And I want to hit right here on 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 19, because this is mind-blowing stuff. But this is just how big and how complete the work of Christ is. This is how far it goes. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. How's that possible? How's that possible? How can God call us to do that? Well, let's keep reading the reality of what God has done. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things. Here's where, why, how? How is this possible? It wasn't with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. But no, you were redeemed and you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. How is it that our lives can really change? How is it that we can start walking in holiness? We remember who we were. We remember what our hearts were like before. We can start doing this not because of anything we've done, but because of the powerful, precious blood of Jesus Christ that's purchased us. He's fulfilled it. He's completed it. And we can walk in that today. Today. That's good news. That's life-changing stuff. When we allow Christ to penetrate our hearts, we surrender to Him, He will take us to a whole nother level. As we become the righteousness of God because of His powerful grace. So let me ask you, is this possible? Is it possible? God's word says that all things are possible in Christ Jesus. Is this possible? Yeah. And it's beautiful. And I want to make sure. I just want to talk to you as family members right now. What the enemy wants to do with a message like this, these are the words of Jesus. This is the reality of God's word, okay? What the enemy wants to do with a message like this is go, How come it's not happening in your life? Guess you're not good enough. Or it's never going to happen in your life. Or you get offended at it, at a word like this from the Word of God. Because you're not seeing it maybe in the way that you think it should be played out. And so you go, well, that's not really true. It can't be that way. And so we start making up kind of stuff like that. I want to encourage you, read the Word of God and believe it. Do you have a big enough view of God to believe and have the faith that He can really accomplish this in your life? Is God big enough? I believe He's big enough. He's bigger and greater than anything I could come up with, imagine, or comprehend. He's so much greater. And so I want to encourage you, when you hear a message like this, when you read words like we just read from the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, when we talk about the new covenant, that you do not let the enemy get in there and bring condemnation upon you. For that condemnation is not for you, and it's only from the enemy, if you're feeling any of it. Reject it. And just begin to say, I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm the salt and light. I am redeemed. Christ came. He fulfilled the law. He brought a new covenant. And I am brand new in Him. He completed it so I could be complete. And so I will walk in that reality today and every day. Devil, you're a liar. This is who I am. And this is how I will think. And this is how I will live. And you let God do it. You let God be God and you let Him do it because He is the one who fulfilled it and completed it. Let's stand up. I want to invite you to respond to this message in an actual physical way right now. I know I'm getting pretty bold as the pastor. I'm giving you homework assignments last week, and now I'm asking us to take a physical, step of response to a message like this. But if in any way you have felt the move of the Holy Spirit on you related to you embracing more of your identity as a new creation, embracing more of the reality of what God has done for you and what He is wanting to do in you, if you're wanting to grab hold of more and the fullness of what He's already grabbed hold of for you, then I want to invite you just to come up front. And we can fill this whole front. There's plenty of room. If you just want to grab hold of more of what He has, if you're ready to take it to another level and embrace that new level, extra level that God has for your life in the new covenant, in what He has completed, I invite you to come forward. Your hands and put them up. This is a sign of surrender to the Lord, and it's also a sign of recognizing that He is who He said He is, and that He is God. It's a sign of honoring Him and acknowledging Him and coming into agreement with Him. God, we are here this morning as Your children. We're here this morning to say yes and amen to what Your Word has said. We're here this morning because we want to walk more and more in this reality of the new covenant. Holy Spirit, would You just cause this reality to even start coming alive more and more in our hearts and our minds right now? Holy Spirit, just flood over us. Counsel us in this. Thank You, God. Would you just repeat this after me? Jesus, you fulfilled it. Jesus, you completed it. Now fill me. Complete me. I say yes to you and to what your word says about who I am in you.